It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Bills have done what we all thought they couldn't do at times this season. They're back as the number two seed after beating Miami yesterday. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU. You can be a part of Unsportsmanlike Nation on the Dr. Pepper call in line at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper, the ones fans deserve. All right, let's get you up to speed on everything going on because there is a lot right now. All right, let's start with who's in the postseason. We'll start there because you heard the Buffalo highlights there. Baltimore is in as the one seed. Buffalo will host Pittsburgh Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Buffalo, of course, beats the Dolphins last night, Sunday night football. Pittsburgh beats CC's Ravens, the second string version of the Ravens, on Saturday. Mike Tomlin does it again, finds his way in the postseason, 10-win season. Kansas City is going to host Miami. Kansas City wins yesterday with all their backups against the Chargers. Miami loses. They drop down to the sixth seed, and then Houston and Cleveland are going to face off Saturday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time as Houston gets in with their win over Indy. Jacksonville with the biggest letdown loss, collapse alongside Philadelphia, but Philadelphia is at least getting in the playoffs. Jacksonville outside looking in. San Francisco comes in as the one seed in the NFC. We have the Mike McCarthy Bowl, 2-7 Dallas after their win against Washington, who fired Ron Rivera. We'll get to that in a second. Today, Green Bay gets in. CC has said there's no player in the NFC, no quarterback in the NFC in the second half of the season that performed better than Green Bay's quarterback in Jordan Love. Mike McCarthy Bowl, Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Detroit and the Rams, Stafford and Goff. That'll be Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And then the Monday night game, which we'll have on the ESPN family and networks, Tampa Bay, give Todd Bowles, Baker Mayfield tons of credit. Third straight division title, this one without Tom Brady, of course, against Philadelphia, limping their way in literally and figuratively into the postseason. Jalen Hurts banged up yesterday with a finger. A.J. Brown banged up. That's the Monday night game, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Let's start there, guys. Quick thoughts on the playoff matchups, then we'll get into who got fired today. CeCe, where are you going with these playoff matchups? Which one intrigues you the most?
Oh, the playoff matchup that intrigues me the most. I mean, I want to go Cowboys-Packers, but I know that's the train that Smalls is on, so I'll shy away from that one. Let's go with Matt Stafford going back to the D, man. I mean, Matt Stafford going to face off against the Detroit Lions as a wild card. I mean, listen, you're talking about one of the hottest teams in football. I think they finished the season winning 7 of their last 8 games, including the win they had yesterday with Carson Wentz as their starting quarterback. But, I mean, the Rams are a dangerous team. Of all of the teams in the NFC wild card picture, I mean, they're probably the team that I could see making a deep playoff run and getting to the championship rounds.
Absolutely. But I'm not looking at that as the Matthew Stafford game. I'm looking at that as a Jared Goff revenge game.
Ooh.
Everybody's going to look at Matthew Stafford going to Detroit. He obviously had a lot of success there. It's his return back to the Lions. But I'm also looking at Jared Goff and the team that cast him aside in favor of Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. The team that he took to the Super Bowl saying, we don't think you're good enough to get the job done. He goes to Detroit. He flourishes. I think this is a big statement game for Jared Goff when I look at that matchup. But you talked about the one that I'm the most intrigued by. It's Packers-Cowboys. Dallas is the two seed, which I think it surprised a lot of people because we just assumed Philadelphia would be able to get the job done, even though that they faltered down the stretch. But the Packers are one of the hottest teams in football right now, and they have absolutely nothing to lose. They've already exceeded expectations. They've already had a successful year, proving that Jordan Love is indeed the guy moving forward. They outperformed what they did last year. They're in the playoffs. They have a young team who doesn't really know any better. There's no pressure on them. And the Dallas Cowboys have all the pressure in the world on them. They're at home, where they've had a lot of success this year. We only view their season as successful if they can get it done in the playoffs. To me, that's the one I'm circling as upset city right there.
All right. Now, the other part of today, the day after the NFL regular season ends, is obviously all the coaching moves, general manager moves, coaches moves in terms of coordinators. So here's what we have so far. Here's what we know so far. During the season, we know the Raiders, the Panthers, and the Chargers made moves with their head coaches. The Raiders seem poised to hire Antonio Pierce to be their full-time head coach. The Panthers seem poised to hire anyone that will take their job. And the Chargers seem poised to go after potentially Jim Harbaugh if he is to win a national championship, even if he's not to win a national championship tonight on ESPN and ESPN Radio. That you knew coming into today. Here's what you need to know as of now. The Atlanta Falcons last night, right after midnight Eastern time, fired their head coach, Arthur Smith. He went 7-10 in three straight seasons. At the end of the game yesterday, the Saints scored another touchdown, an extra touchdown to go up 48-17. You're now going to have a lasting moment with Arthur Smith that's not going to be about his mustache. It's going to be about screaming and yelling at Dennis Allen, the head coach of the Saints, at midfield for piling on, which was called by Jameis Winston and not Dennis Allen. We also know that the Washington Commanders have made a move today, and they have fired Ron Rivera, their head coach. That was widely anticipated as they head into the offseason with the number two pick in the draft. What we didn't know and didn't see coming is that Josh Harris, brand new owner of the Commanders, who also, by the way, owns the Philadelphia 76ers and New Jersey Devils, hired two people to assist in the search for a new head coach. One is Rick Spielman, who was the general manager of the Dolphins and the Vikings. And the other is Bob Myers, our teammate here at ESPN, who brilliantly ran the Warriors to four championships. He is now brought in. And I'll add one other thing and then obviously go on this, guys. Bill Belichick spoke to the media this morning. Let it be known that he's under contract. Bill Belichick, while winning six Super Bowls, I don't think ever let us know that he was under contract for the next year. Today he did, that he's fully under contract, and he seems committed to wanting to coach the Patriots specifically. We don't know when the meeting with Kraft is. It's been widely reported, including by our own Adam Schefter, that it's expected to end without Belichick being the head coach of the Patriots. But, CeCe, there is our update on kind of the hot seat in the coaching carousel right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest takeaway is Josh Harris, the owner of the Washington Commanders, hiring people that know what the hell they're doing and taking a step back and letting them go through the process of finding their next head coach. I mean, think about it. The last couple of decades under Dan Snyder, the Washington Commanders haven't been known to allow people, football people, to handle football business. Dan Snyder did not empower the people in the building, did not give them autonomy to make the best decisions for the franchise. He would routinely usurp their authority and do what the hell he wanted to do and not take the recommendations of people that knew better. For them, bringing in Rick Spielman and bringing in Bob Myers, two executives in high level of sports that have been a part of organizations that have had sustained success, to me, hiring them to lead the coaching search for them is a huge step in the right direction. The other thing that the Commanders have going for them, they got a cash-rich owner. They've got the second overall draft pick, and you're talking about a franchise that's going to be building a new stadium in the next couple of years. They got a lot of positives going on around D.C., and I think that if you're a prospective head coach, you're no longer looking at the Commanders the way that you once did a couple of seasons ago. It's a new day in Washington. And it's a good thing for that team, that fan base, but also for the National Football League.
God, it's about time. It is about time in Washington. I know what it's like to be repulsed by the ownership of your favorite football team, and it's a bad place to be. And Washington was, for all intents and purposes, one of the crown jewel franchises in the NFL for many years. That fan base is so dedicated. They love their team. And to think that they have finally arrived at a place where they are poised to jump back into that echelon and become a successful football team again, it's been a long time since Washington football fans could say that. But when you think about Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, Bob Myers, Rick Spielman, do we have any doubt that those four, plus maybe other consultants that they have, can't put their heads together and find the right guy for the job in Washington?
No doubt.
I have no doubt that they're going to do that. And if they get the right guy and have the right people in place, they're going to be able to draft their franchise quarterback. This is a great day in the city of D.C.
So what does that make you think? Where do you go mentally with that? If you're saying, hey, they've put together this dream team of people that are advising Josh Harris, where are they going? Because I disagree. I don't think he has a dream team. I think Bob Myers is the dream team.
He has it.
Yeah, he's a walking dream team in terms of this. Magic Johnson is a walking dream team in terms of overall business. But
anything that Magic Johnson has touched has been successful.
Yes.
Correct. Let's
Without
call it
a doubt.
What it is.
I know. I'm saying from a business perspective. I absolutely
even with sports franchises. I mean, the Dodgers won a championship. Magic Johnson was a part of the
ownership. And they're a super team now.
So where do we go? Where do we go with Washington? Does that now change your look in terms of, is this the best opening?
You know what? If I'm Jim Harbaugh, I am very intrigued. because he seems to be the big fish out there that a lot of people want. He's a great coach, has done it at the NFL level. He knows how to coach young players. He knows how to instill a culture. He's definitely the guy. If he tells you not to go in for a touchdown and you're out there in victory formation, do you think the players are going to not do what Jim Harbaugh says? Probably not. He knows how to work with quarterbacks. If they're going to handpick their quarterback out of this quarterback-rich draft, you've got the capital to pay him more than Michigan offered him. If I am Jim Harbaugh, all of a sudden I'm looking at that job as a very attractive landing
spot.
Pretty
easy to have family dinners with his brother in Baltimore, too.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Right in the Beltway, yeah.
I'm just saying. The whole family moves to that area. Like, you're kind of. No, I'm being serious. Like, they
no, you're not
really,
wrong. You're
like,
not wrong. They're very family oriented. So, yeah.
So, is that the best opening? Like, is that the best opening now versus here's the other spin on this, which is not spin, it's fact. We could see more openings. Just because we don't see it today doesn't mean we're not going to see it. CC has spoke glowingly about, hey, just because you're following Belichick doesn't mean the Patriots opening couldn't be a good opening.
I think that's a great job.
Right.
I think that's a great job.
I'll also throw out there if Philadelphia potentially opens if they
that
lose
would
to
be
Tampa.
That would be a great job.
I'll also throw out there at what point does Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, get so annoyed that he starts flirting even while having Doug Peterson as the head coach?
I don't think that job comes open this offseason. Okay. I'm with you. Maybe you. I was right there with you until you went with the Jags. I think Peterson starts next year on the hot seat. But I'll say this. Like, you threw it out there. Those are three really, really good jobs. New England, which we believe will come open later today. The Washington Commanders, which already came open this morning.
Sad.
And then the Philadelphia Eagles job, which could come open next Monday after they potentially lose to the Buccaneers. So, I mean, those are all three great jobs. If I had to power rank them, I would probably go Patriots one just because we have more.
Wow.
We got more proof of concept with the owner. To me, that's where it starts, right? How good is your ownership? So I would rock out there first. Then I would probably go with the Eagles. Then I would go with the Commanders. But there's not a lot of separation between two and three. I think those jobs would be right there.
Ownership for the Chargers has turned you off enough where you would sit there and say, I don't care about coaching Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
Think about this. The Chargers have had good quarterback play. Whether it's Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees, hell, even Dan Fouts. They've had good quarterback play.
And no, that's great quarterback play.
And it's still been meh. So what? Like, why would I think, like, with Justin Herbert, like, why am I thinking it's going to be different?
Boy, what an interesting, like, when you think about QB historically, we think about the Packers, right? We think about the 30, 40 years. If you, and I know there's other guys in between, but they had Fouts, they had Breeze, they had Rivers, they have Herbert, and they went to a Super Bowl with Stan Humphries.
Yeah.
Think about that, if I'm not mistaken. Think about that for a second.
And they're still meh.
Right. But they actually have a longer line of competent quarterback play than we ever actually give credit for.
Yeah.
Right? If you think about the Chargers' 30-40-year run of quarterback play, it is way more competent than we probably think about.
Yes.
And yet, you're still saying, nah, fourth or fifth on the list, if that, in terms of potential openings. Or current openings, for that matter.
Yeah, they're down the line.
But I do think the one thing about ownership is they might give you a long runway. Because if you're going to bring back your coach after he has a major implosion in the playoffs, I think the new guy who comes in is probably going to get a pretty long leash to do what he wants to do.
Could we be watching Jim Harbaugh's final game at Michigan tonight? We will find out coming up next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Michigan, Washington, for it all, the national championship. It's awesome.
This will be a matchup of strength. Michigan boasting one of the top defenses in the country. Washington featuring an explosive offense.
Washington O-line won the award for best offensive line in the country. So what is that matchup going to look like? Michigan's pressure unit versus Washington's protection unit.
Michael Penix Jr., not just last week, but all season long, has been evading pressure with his feet and throwing it downfield.
Michael Penix, he's the ultimate winner. He's a difference maker.
Who will raise the trophy? Find out tonight. The College Football Playoff National Championship presented by AT&T. Coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. And the man on the call tonight is the brother of somebody I've done many shows with in my life, Ryan McDonough, over at NBA Radio. And Ryan just texted me, "Cool, you're having Sean on, second best broadcaster in our family." Is that true? You're now the second best broadcaster in the McDonough family? Interesting.
Yes. And Ryan is the most delusional member of our family. So Wow. There you go.
All right, let's
now, Ryan started out in broadcasting. You know, he did some minor league baseball when he was in college at North Carolina. He has a great voice, Evan, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I ever heard him do anything when he was on the basketball team at Hingham High School in Massachusetts before he made it onto the varsity. He was a very good player, by the way. He did the PA for the varsity games, I think, when he was like a freshman. And I remember being at one of the games, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hingham High School." I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have some competition here in the family. But
I don't think so.
Ryan's the best. Hey, Ryan, good to know we have a...
I don't think you have competition with that. I'm just saying. Anyway, so for tonight, Michigan and Washington. This is such a fascinating national championship game because you have one team, Sean, that everyone expected to go there, and another team that's kind of out of nowhere. How do you look at kind of the theme and the storyline with this game tonight?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating matchup on so many levels, and really looking forward to it. You know, I'm sure you guys get asked all the time, who do you like in the game? And I've been asked that several times during the week, and I really have no idea. I didn't have any idea last week going into the Sugar Bowl when Washington played Texas. You know, to me, it was kind of a toss-up, and I think this one is too. So, you know, there are a lot of things to watch tonight. You know, I saw Jim Harbaugh said the other day in a media availability, you know, their game last week against Alabama was a game in the trenches. You know, it was going to be kind of who controlled the line of scrimmage. And he was right about that. I mean, they dominated really from the first snap. They had six sacks against Alabama. I think that'll be a lot harder to do tonight against this Washington team that protects the quarterback about as well as any team I've ever seen. I mean, Penix was dropping back and throwing deep balls a lot of the night against Texas. And I think he hit the ground once on a pass play. I mean, he was basically untouched. So two really good offensive lines. But, you know, as Jim Harbaugh said, this one isn't really a game in the trenches. It's more of a matchup game, and I think, you know, there are fascinating matchups on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I keep looking at this matchup when Washington is on the field, and I'm figuring out how does Michigan contend with having Rome Odunze on one side and Jalen Polk on the other one, two outstanding pass catchers for the Huskies. And Sean, I know you were on the call for the Sugar Bowl between Washington and Texas. What was the thing that stood out to you about Michael Penix Jr. in the passing game from Washington?
Well, really the whole package, and you just hit on some of it, Chris. You know, they have the best group of wide receivers in the country. I think Marvin Harrison might be the best wide receiver in the country. He's probably going to be the first wide receiver picked and maybe the first player picked in the draft, and he won the Biletnikoff Award. But I think Rome Odunze really should have won it this year. I'm not saying he's a better player, but I think he had a better season, you know, better stats, more clutch catches for his team. He's terrific, but, you know, when we talked to Steve Sarkisian in the lead-up to the Sugar Bowl game, he said he thinks, you know, the most dangerous guy might be Jalen McMillan, who really only played in about five games during the regular season. So that receiver group's a handful. You know, Dylan Johnson, the running back, really came on at the end of the year and gave them a running threat. You know, they became much more balanced. And, you know, the tight end is one of my favorite guys, Jack Westover, because he just has a knack for making, you know, a big play when they really need it. So to me, they have five dangerous weapons with Penix. Penix is phenomenal. You know, it certainly helps that he gets great protection, but he also, when he doesn't get great protection, has a great feel for where the rush is coming from. You know, it kind of reminds me of Tom Brady in that regard. You know, one of Tom's greatest strengths was just that little step or half step in the right direction to get free and get a throw off. And, you know, Penix does that exceedingly well. And then tremendous velocity, you know, about as good as I've seen in college football. And, you know, the deep ball accuracy that, again, is about as good as I've seen. So, you know, it'll be a great matchup because Michigan's the best defense in the country statistically, you know, number one in scoring defense, number two in pass defense. You know, some of the pass defense numbers I wonder about just because they play in the Big Ten where there aren't a lot of great passing offenses. So, you know, we'll see how good they are on pass defense tonight, but I think it's a fascinating matchup, especially on that side of the ball when it's the Washington offense against the Michigan defense.
Sean, we talk so much about Jim Harbaugh as the head coach of Michigan and what he's been able to do with this program. We don't give the same amount of light to Kalen DeBoer, and he's gotten this Washington program in such a healthy place. What is it about him as a coach and a leader that has allowed him to arrive at this place?
Well, it's a great question, Michelle, and I think there are a lot of answers to that. I think, number one, he's an outstanding, you know, technical football coach and a really smart guy. But I think even more than that, he's a really good person. You don't have to spend much time around him to know he is a sincerely good person, and people rally around him. You know, he's kept the coaching staff, several of them, back to his days when he was at the University of Sioux Falls. You know, when he first got to Washington, the most important thing he did was convince Michael Penix to transfer there. They had been together for a year in Indiana when Kalen was the offensive coordinator there. He and the coaching staff, when they got there, convinced those wide receivers we just talked about to stay. You know, a bunch of them were ready to jump in the portal and leave. But I think once they met him and Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator, they realized what the offense was going to be. They knew this was going to be a great offense for a wide receiver to play in, and it is. So, you know, and he's another guy who has proven, you know, that if you can win anywhere, right? And he won at Sioux Falls. Well, you know, but he's never coached at this level. Well, you know, he really earned his way up. He spent a lot of time at FCS football as an assistant, FBS as an assistant, you know, head coach at Fresno State. He's one of the best coaches in the country. And you're right. I mean, we've known about Jim Harbaugh, right, since he played a long, long time ago. You know, he's one of the most well-known people in football. We don't know much about Kalen DeBoer, but I think the more we learn, we're realizing he really is one of the best coaches in the country and a terrific guy, too.
Talk with Sean McDonough, of course, ESPN broadcaster on the call tonight for the national championship game, Michigan and Washington this evening.
Sean, curious, from your perspective, do you think this is Jim Harbaugh's last game as the head coach of Michigan?
I don't know. I mean, I think he would like to go back to the NFL. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? You don't talk to Minnesota 2 years ago and Denver last year and maybe some other teams without at least being interested in going back. You know, I think this would be the right time. I understand why any college coach, if he had the opportunity to go to the NFL, would want to do it. I mean, college football coaching was hard enough before NIL and the transfer portal and all of that stuff, and it's gotten even that much harder. And your team changes over. A lot of these teams do every year. These are two teams really that haven't had a tremendous amount of transfers, which I think is actually a part of their success because they do have great culture within the program. I think we saw that with everything that Michigan went through this year, the way the players rallied together, rallied around Harbaugh and the other coaches who coached when Jim wasn't there. So I would think so. I mean, Jim is quirky. I've known him for a long, long time. And, you know, his brother John is one of my closest friends, as you know, Chris. And remember, John's coming to the game tonight. It's yep. The benefit of the Ravens having a bye week. So, you know, I don't know for sure, but I do know one thing. He is quirky, but I think he's a really good person. And I think he's demonstrated he's a tremendous football coach. John, then you go back to the University of San Diego, Stanford, the 49ers here at Michigan. You know, he's demonstrated he's one of the best coaches in all of football. So if I was an NFL team, I'd want him. If I was a San Diego, not the San Diego Chargers, sorry, but old habits are hard to break, the Los Angeles Chargers, why wouldn't you want him? He's a proven winner. He's a, you know, a guy who could coach up Justin Herbert. That seems to be the team that gets the most attention, and to me it makes a tremendous amount of sense.
Sean, let's finish with this.
And if you win tonight, I mean, what else do you have to do at Michigan, right? I mean,
no,
you could make
nothing.
The statement that this is going to be, they win tonight, you know, the greatest 3 or 4 year stretch in Michigan history. Finished third in the country the last 2 years. They've won three Big Ten titles in a row, beat Ohio State every year. You put a national championship on top of that, what more do you have to do?
Nothing. And that's where we finish, obviously, Sean. Great job as always. We look forward to hearing you this evening on the call with Greg McElroy, our buddy Ian Fitzsimmons, Chris Budden as well. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Enjoy this evening.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, there's Sean McDonough. He'll be on the call tonight. National championship game coverage begins 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. Ryobi is awesome. Let me tell you why, Ryobi. And that is why this Saturday, make cleanup easy with Ryobi 18-volt, 1-plus cordless leaf blower from the Home Depot. All right, coming up, a man who starred at Washington and played for a guy that is the greatest head coach in the history of the sport, but may be looking for a job soon. We'll talk to Corey Dillon, Super Bowl champion, next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Michigan, Washington, for it all, the national championship. It's awesome.
Monday's game will be the third time teams 14-0 or better face off.
It was never about, you know, winning another Big Ten championship. It was all about winning the national championship.
Michigan, Washington tonight. Title on the line. We are unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPNU as well. Now, this championship game tonight, most people believe, is Harbaugh's last game. CeCe, you are still up in the air on that, or leaning towards it's not his last game, correct?
That is correct.
I have wavered on this myself.
Yeah, and I hear everything that Sean is saying with how difficult college football has become, but it feels like Jim Harbaugh has the swing of it. Like, it feels like he's able to convince guys that this is the place that you want to stay, this is a place that you want to grow as a player, and not necessarily jumping ship because you don't get the playing time or your role isn't as what you thought it would be coming out as a prep player or coming into the program as a transfer. It's turned into an environment that players want to stick around for several years as opposed to potentially being one and done. So I don't know that this is something that you want to leave after you've gone through all of the pain, all of the trials and the tribulations and the criticism of building it up to what it is. Like right now, you've got a 3-game win streak over Ohio State. And basically that is, you know, the team that's in your way every single year to getting to the college football playoff. You figured out Ryan Day. And so I don't know that this is a program that you necessarily want to leave for the jobs that we know to be available right now. I don't see that right now. I think Jim Harbaugh hiring Don Yee and all of the posturing toward the NFL has been, you know, the motivation behind it has been becoming the highest paid coach in college football. And until that happens, I think you're going to continue to get this speculation. But if Michigan does make him that offer after he wins a national title, which I would expect they would, I have a hard time seeing him leaving.
So you think if he wins, he's going to stay? Because yeah. I think if he wins, it's more likely that he leaves, that you ride off into the sunset after you did what you promised. You brought your university, the one in which you're an alum of, back to national prominence, back to being a national champion, knowing that you have all of these options in the NFL and some pretty enticing ones at that, whether it be going to LA to coach what we assume to be a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert, or Washington, who has new ownership and who is going to throw every possible resource at you, including a bag of money, to be there, and you get to choose your own quarterback. There's just some really interesting options in the NFL for a proven guy at the NFL level in Jim Harbaugh. And to me, if I was ever going to leave my alma mater, it's after I won a national championship, if he gets it done tonight.
I thought all season he was coming back. And recently I just think, no, he's gone. He's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what else we probably, and Sean McDonough just referenced it with us, we probably don't mention enough. He's interviewed for NFL jobs every offseason for the last few years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? So, like, he's going to interview regardless of if he comes back or not. Like, that's just what he does this time of year. I have a weird feeling tonight's going to be one of two things. Either a Michigan blowout in favor of the Wolverines, or a Michael Penix just unbelievably dominant performance that puts him in the top five of the NFL draft. Like, for some reason, I don't see a close Michigan win or a big Washington win. I think it's going to be all in on Michigan, or Penix is going to be so unbelievable that we literally come in tomorrow and say, well, you can't pass up on him if you're two, if you're three, if you're four in the draft.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Here's what I'll say about it. I don't know that Michigan has played an offense as dynamic as Washington. Certainly not a passing attack. I mean, we just heard from Sean McDonough, who covers college football for us, and he was just saying some of the pass defense numbers for Michigan might be a little bit inflated by virtue of the conference that they're in. The Big Ten, they're not known for throwing the ball around the yard, and that's what Washington is going to do tonight with those receivers that they're bringing to the party. So I don't know that they have an answer for Rome Odunze and Jalen Polk and company. I just don't. And so that, to me, is the part where – I could see Washington making it a one-sided affair. If you told me tonight's game was going to be a blowout, I would tell you that Washington is going to win this game.
Wow. Interesting. A Washington blowout.
Yes. I don't think Michigan plays a style that's going to allow them to blow out Washington. And here's the thing. We know that Washington can score, so is a double-digit deficit something that scares Michael Penix Jr. and company? No.
No, not at all. I also think that Michigan hasn't seen a quarterback like Michael Penix yet this season. So
no
even
doubt.
Though their defense is tops in the nation, they haven't seen a guy like this. So will they be able to control him? And Washington loves to dictate the pace of the game. Are they going to be able to control him? I could absolutely see Washington running away with this. Even though Michigan is an outstanding team and he's going against a formidable defense, Washington has been overlooked all season long. Everybody has counted them out or said that they should be underdogs in certain situations. We know that they're a great football team, but most people are coming in with Evan's perspective, saying if it's going to be a blowout, it's going to be at the hands of Michigan. And I could see Michael Penix Jr. and Washington making a massive statement tonight.
So can we flip something then?
Go ahead.
If let's just play out what you just said. Washington blows out Michigan. Penix Jr. looks awesome. We talk about all these NFL head coaching openings, right? We have one with the Chargers, the Raiders, the Panthers, now the Falcons, now the Commanders, right? Am I missing any that we know of right now? We assume that New England is going to potentially be open. Should Kalen DeBoer all of a sudden be a guy that we keep an eye on here? Because you're never going to hit a higher peak than this, right? You can always go back to college.
Yep.
He may never have an opportunity to go to the NFL again coming off of a championship. Is he now a guy that we should think about?
It's a conversation, certainly, but I would also wonder if some of the shine comes off of Jim Harbaugh if that does happen. Like, for all of these teams that are positioning themselves to make a run at Jim, if you get blown out by Washington, who a lot of people have deemed to be an inferior team, what does that say about your prospects of jumping to the NFL? Do people really jump on board with you being that elite-level coach? Now, I guess we've got proof of concept because he's taken a team to the Super Bowl and the 49ers went to three straight conference championship games. But I just wonder, like, is it going to be the dollar figure that he would be looking for in order to entice him to leave Michigan to go to the NFL if he doesn't win this game tonight?
Okay, so there's a couple of other things. We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can listen to us on ESPN Radio, watch us on ESPNU. I guess Corey Dillon has decided if Washington wins, he'll come on with us, okay. Right? So we'll have to wait to see if Washington wins for him to join us. But let's just get you up to speed on a couple of things that's going on right now. We mentioned the coaching moves that we have seen, right? Washington makes their move today. Ron Rivera is out as head coach. The juicy part of this is we knew Rivera was going to get bounced, which, by the way, also, side note, that probably means Eric Bieniemy is going to get bounced. So his candidacy as a head coach is probably not going to be there this offseason.
When we last week did all of the storylines for the NFL heading into this season, we forgot to mention Eric Bieniemy and this being the year that he finally gets that head coaching job.
Well, two things didn't happen with him. One, he didn't get an opportunity to get a couple of games as a head coach if they were to fire Rivera early, so he never got that. And two, and CeCe pointed this out long before anyone else, he wasn't good. So the thing that didn't happen was he didn't get them to the place he got the Kansas City offense to. Now, obviously, Mahomes and Howell are a little bit different in terms of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But CeCe, you've been saying all year, like, I don't like bringing this up because, like, a guy has been a good coach. But he hasn't been good this year with that Washington offense. So they make a change. But Bob Myers and Rick Spielman come in to help advise in the coaching search. Yes, Bob Myers of the Warriors fame comes in and helps Josh Harris, the owner of the team, who also owns the Sixers and the Devils, in addition to the Washington Commanders. In addition, we have Arthur Smith out in Atlanta. So we have that opening. The playoff matchups are now set with Dallas and Green Bay, Detroit and the Rams, Tampa and Philly, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Miami, Houston and Cleveland, with San Francisco and Baltimore as the two byes. And then, of course, the draft order is set. Chicago, Washington, New England, Arizona, the Chargers, 1-5. Is there anything else that you guys are sitting here saying, I'm surprised this hasn't happened, or maybe this will happen today, that's kind of on the docket here? Maybe it's injury updates, LaPorta in Detroit.
Yeah.
Is there anything still on the docket for today? Because today we know is going to be a busy day leading up to the championship game tonight.
I'm shocked that the Jets aren't making a move. Like, and we're getting this news now, according to our very own Rich Cimini, that says not only is Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas going to be back, but all three coordinators are expected to be back too. Ridiculous. Including Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, but are you really that surprised?
I'm shocked.
Aaron Rodgers is running this thing, and he likes everybody involved.
Yeah, but it already went off the rails 4 plays into your season, and you're going to run it back thinking that things are going to magically be better? A quarterback coming off of an Achilles in his age 41 season? I don't understand it. But it just speaks to the desperation that the New York Jets have. And what I say about desperation, it makes for interesting bedfellows. And that's where the Jets are at right now.
Yeah, but doesn't it feel very Jets, though?
It does. We knew it was going to be spectacular, either in a good way or a bad yes. way. And right now, it's clear that it's the latter and not the former.
Yeah. There's one thing I'm looking at today to see if it happens. And CeCe's already predicted he doesn't think it's going to, but I'll still throw it out there. Dennis Allen, New Orleans. Mm-hmm. The fact that Jameis Winston took over management of that team yesterday and decided to change a play call on a kneel down.
But Jameis said he was speaking for the locker room. The guys in the huddle wanted that to happen. That wasn't Jameis having carte blanche.
Would that have happened to the Steelers?
That was the guys in the huddle saying that. Well, hell, with this version of the Steelers, who knows?
Okay, bad example. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, but even with this version of the Steelers, I don't think they would disrespect Mike T like that.
But here's my point. It happens all the time. It happens in the National Football League where the guys that are calling the plays on the field decide they're going to do something different than what the head coach wants to do. It's just that we don't hear the head coach come out and directly contradict what happened. We never hear it play out that way.
Right.
And Dennis Allen went in the post-game press conference and let it be known that the players don't respect his authority. And I say this all the time, Smalls, it's better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. That's what Dennis Allen did in the press conference yesterday. He let everybody know that he's not the captain. It's whoever's on the field calling the plays. They have more respect. Than he does in his locker room. The second string quarterback got more respect than Dennis Allen does in his own organization.
As I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with Dennis Allen today. Coming up, Canty's best bet, plus our most unsportsmanlike moment of the day. We're unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
Yes, we are going to have our unsportsmanlike moment of the day here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. But first, before we give you our funny, weird, quirky moments, we get Canty's best bet.
Let's go. We're still looking for a win in the new year. We got to bounce back, Smalls.
Happy New Year, by the way.
I don't feel like I've come off of vacay yet. I still got a little bit of vacay brain.
Okay.
But now, after I've got a week's worth of work under my belt, we're going to start strong. And, of course, we got to go with the national championship game, right? There's no other angle that we would go when it comes to best bet of the night. So here's what we're going to do.
I mean, Heat are playing the Rockets tonight.
We're going to put together, of course, like I said, there's no other place to go. So we're going to go three-game parlay.
Okay.
All right? I need you to be on a three-leg parlay. I need you to be on board with this. The Washington Huskies plus 5.5 points.
Okay.
Michael Penix Jr., over 1.5 passing touchdowns.
I like it.
And Blake Corum, over 112.5 total yards. So that's rushing and receiving.
Here's why I don't think that makes sense.
Go ahead.
With Corum?
You're riding the first two that you're kind of going the Washington upset route, and obviously Penix, the star of the show. But if Corum is getting the ball enough where he can control the time, then you're saying Washington's just going to be quick strike the whole game. So wouldn't the move on a betting perspective be to bet the under on Corum, that they never actually get him going?
No, not if you watch the end of the semifinal game, because on that final drive, it was Blake Corum that got it started with a 30-yard catch and run.
He did.
So they're going to
they won that game.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but they were behind in that game. And so if I'm scripting a game where Michigan is behind, I'm expecting that Blake Corum is going to be featured in the passing game. Because here's the thing. As much as I like Roman Wilson, I don't love Michigan's downfield passing game against competent defenses. And so I'm thinking that they're going to have to scheme up creative ways to get Blake Corum the ball, because he's one of their biggest threats in terms of catch and run. So whether it's him as a runner, him as a receiver, I don't see a game script in which Michigan can hang in this thing where Blake Corum doesn't have a big day. So that's why I'm going Blake Corum over 112.5 total yards. And the three-leg parlay pays out at plus 485. So I'm going to give it to you again. Huskies plus 5.5 points. Penix Jr., over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Blake Corum, over 112.5 total yards from scrimmage. Pays out at plus 485.
I like it.
All right. We got three things here for unsportsmanlike moments of the weekend / day, whatever it is. Something fun, something different, something quirky. The first one specifically may be for Smalls. I'll explain in a second. But on the national championship angle, Jim Harbaugh gave his beliefs on sleeping. Mm. Here he is.
I say the two nights before is the sleep you play on. I have no scientific evidence to present to you on that. I just know, you know, when I played and when I coach too, and just the night before a game, sometimes I don't always sleep great. So you know, I've convinced myself and that if I get at least two nights the night before the game, if I get a great night's sleep there, I go, that's the night of sleep you're playing on. So, and if you get a really good night's sleep the night before a game, then that's a real bonus.
Okay. He ain't wrong. Really? He ain't wrong.
Really?
No, he's not wrong.
I was going to ask because people wrong. Say this about marathons, that it's like if he's saying basically it's the Saturday night sleep that impacts the Monday night game.
Yeah.
That's
true? He's not wrong. I'm just saying when you have a big game like that, you're probably not going to get a ton of sleep. Like you'll lay in bed and the best you could hope for is just being prone and being off your feet. But it's the rest that you get the 2 days prior to that. So it's like if you got a big game on Sunday, like the Super Bowl, for instance, okay. Super Bowl 46, we're playing in Indianapolis. To me, the most important days for sleep were that Thursday night and that Friday night. Because that Saturday night, you know, you're going to be in your room, you're going to be chilling, but you're not going to get a whole lot of sleep because you've been dreaming about this game for your entire life.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like it's just like national championship game, Super Bowl, those are the games that kids dream about playing in. So the night before is going to be a tough ass to get a nice 8 hours of sleep. What you're hoping is that you can just lay in bed, you can just chill and that thing. But the 2 nights prior to that are the nights that everybody's banking on. So if they got a great sleep on Friday night, Saturday night, they should be good to go tonight.
I never thought about it that way.
So think about that for your marathons, right?
Oh,
and you got to do it 2 nights in advance. That's the key then.
Well, I never sleep anyway, but I rest easy the night before a marathon because I don't care how I finish.
Okay.
It's not like the national championship game or the Super Bowl. I'm not going to win the thing. I just need to cross the finish line.
There's some other things, unsportsmanlike moments. How you walk into the game, right? NFL players, NBA players, we're all kind of filmed going into the game now. So there was a Washington Commanders player that came into the game yesterday for them in overalls and no shirt underneath. Yeah. Overalls, no shirt underneath.
Yeah.
How do we feel about this look? Would you ever have worn that into a game, CeCe?
It actually works for him. And I've seen Kayvon Thibodeau, outside linebacker for the New York Giants, show up to a game in that same get up, overalls, no shirt underneath. Now, it looked a little bit different on him than this player from the Commanders. I'm assuming that's a lineman. So I want to show some love for the bigs for having body positivity and having the confidence and the swag to pull it off.
It's all about confidence.
I actually have no problem with it, Smalls.
It's just a little Vince Wolfork moment. You know what I mean?
No problem with it.
What about this?
I'm a girl from the Midwest. I love a little overalls moment. I think it says
a lot about him. It was pretty cold out there yesterday, and for him to be out there and no shirt on.
You put your overalls on when you're going to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's a symbol. I'm going to work.
What about walking into a game?
I don't think many of those guys went to work yesterday. They got blasted 38-10.
What about walking into a game barefoot? Because we have that as well. I think this is this Mac Hollins? Who is this? I think it's Mac Hollins, wide receiver. Walked into the game barefoot. How do we feel about that? Dirty grounds, stadium.
It's disgusting.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I mean, just barefoot, like walking on the ground and walking out in public, on sidewalks and in a stadium tunnel. I mean, you don't know what's on that floor. That's just nasty.
Would your mentality change today if you were still playing about your entrance versus then? Because you guys weren't filmed as much as they are today walking in. Would you have to step up your game?
No, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about
beating
the offensive lineman, how I'm going to handle double teams, all that kind of crap. I'm not thinking about being fashion forward in that instance. But just to go back on him walking in barefooted,
yeah.
I don't even go barefoot in hotel showers. Like, I have shower shoes on.
You do?
I do, yeah. I think that's just disgusting.
I just assume the cleaning crew has handled it before I step in there.
No, but I mean, usually hotels have carpet, too, on the floors. And it's like you're walking on carpet in a hotel room. Do you know the germs that carpet is harboring?
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's a thing.
More to do on that one, Dave. Greeny coming up next. We are on to Tuesday on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.